Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. You cannot serve both God and wealth, Jesus says. The last line of the parable of the dishonest manager, which Glynis has read to us this morning, you cannot serve both God and wealth. It is a nice idea, and I think it's an overconfident way to sum up a parable that frankly doesn't make any sense. Were you listening to this story? I'm totally confused too, Tommy. I think that's kind of the point. And that's what this sermon is about this morning. I'm not sure I can wrap this one up for you and present it in a tidy little package. Jesus has taken on a huge topic here, as he does time and time again throughout the Gospels. And this is a parable. And a parable is not to be confused with a fairy tale. For a fairy tale has a moral. A fairy tale usually has some kind of lesson. And parables have lessons too, but usually they're pretty confusing lessons. And if there are characters in the parable, then usually there is something to indict every single one of the characters in the parable. If we can see ourselves in the parable, simply by asking some questions, I believe we are fulfilling the original purpose of Jesus in telling these inscrutable little stories. So let's see if we can raise some questions. Jesus is talking about the subject of money here. He comes frequently back to the subject of money. You have to remember, Jesus has turned over the tables of the moneylenders or the money changers in the temple. And school children in Sunday school all over America read that story and marvel that Jesus once got mad. How human that makes him, don't you think? Remember what he said to the poor widow who came into the temple and offered both of her last two coins. Remember what he said to the rich young man who was searching for the kingdom of God. Sell all of your possessions and give them to the poor. When Jesus talks about money, Jesus usually raises more questions than he answers. For the story of the widow and her two coins is not simply a story about generosity. She was a generous woman. But it's deeply embedded. That story is deeply embedded in a critique of the scribes and Pharisees. So it's also a story about spiritual manipulation. And when Jesus speaks to the rich young man and tells him to give everything he has to the poor, is he making an argument for asceticism? Is he expecting all of us to live in this way? Or is he making a narrow prescription to cure the spiritual illness of one person? I don't know. The Bible doesn't answer that question. What I can see is that Jesus comes at money as he comes at many different things from a lot of different angles. For wealth can mean many different things to all of us, can it not? Status, security, pleasure, control. Does anybody watch Downton Abbey? It's a story about a family with a whole lot of money. It's also a story about what that money means to that family. For the scale of Lord Grantham's wealth and the health of his estate is largely about status. Even more than his title, the continued health of the estate of Downton Abbey says a lot about his influence in England. The security of his daughters. The legacy of a family that they hope will be passed on to another generation. Will we be diminished? Is a regular question. Or what about money in another popular TV show, another one of my favorites, Breaking Bad? What does money mean to Walter White, do you think? What might money mean to a high school chemistry teacher who's learned that he has a terminal illness and then uses his expertise in chemistry to manufacture crystal meth in order to provide for his family, and over the course of several seasons, building a tremendous business, even as the human cost of his activity continues to grow, and even as he sacrifices all of his values and principles and winds up losing what he had hoped to preserve in the first place, his family. Money to Walter White means control. Control over other people. Control over a future that is uncontrollable. Money can mean lots of things to different people. And if it seems like how we relate to our wealth has become a frequent sermon topic recently, it's not because I'm particularly interested in the subject, but that Jesus is. For we were talking in our Bible study this morning about how even the Sabbath and sabbatical laws in the Hebrew Bible were largely oriented toward social justice. How we treat our neighbors in economic situations, the forgiveness of debt, the offering of our fields for charity. And in the Gospel of Luke especially, he comes back again and again to this central topic, and his message, by and large, encourages the forgiveness of debt and the making of gifts. The relationship of Jesus to wealth is often presented as uncomplicated. He lived by choice, we are told, as a poor ascetic, and he has a way of shaming us all into being more generous, does he not? But I'm not quite convinced that the story is so simple. Because, first of all, Jesus worked for a living before he found his vocation as a wandering mystic. And we don't know anything about how he operated his small business as a carpenter. If Jesus could get mad and turn over the tables of the money changers in the temple, if he was really human, then in the course of his business, could he not have every once in a while overcharged a customer? Or maybe hastened a contract to a close by turning in shabby work? Did he actually tithe off of his hard-earned income? Or does he just preach about it in the last 3 years of his life? And secondly, from what we do know of Jesus in the Gospels, we can observe that he sometimes showed signs of self-indulgence and even greed. Matthew remembers how Jesus lashes out at those who tried to prevent a poor woman from anointing his head with expensive oils. "The poor you will always have with you," he snaps, "but you will not always have me." And finally, Jesus lived the last 3 years of his life as I do, on the generosity of others, to assume that he was unaware of his own interest and how he talked about money seems to underestimate his savvy. For it's one thing to say to someone, for the good of your soul, you need to rethink your relationship with your money. And it's quite another thing to say to someone, for the good of your soul, you need to give some of your money to me. I believe that today's parable of the dishonest manager is just further evidence that Jesus understood the complex entanglements that we have with wealth. As the parable opens, a property owner accuses his employee of mismanagement. But we don't even know for certain if the employee is guilty of mismanagement or not. We just know that he's been accused of it. And wouldn't the world be so much simpler if we could all perceive the motivations of others clearly and quickly and accurately? But as a matter of fact, we don't have all of the evidence and information that we need. The owner does make clear that he's going to fire his employee, so the manager goes about collecting on his employer's debts, or people who owe money to his employer. And he makes these collections at 50 to 80 cents on the dollar, presumably offering great discounts to the owner's clients in order to win some friends. Because after he's been fired from his job, he's going to need some help. The property owner, who has now sustained considerable losses, perplexingly praises the manager, saying that he should be commended for acting so shrewdly. What do you make of that? A parable that seems to congratulate a character who has made some ethically questionable decisions. Blessed are the shrewd, for they are going to figure out how to take care of themselves. Not in my reading of the Beatitudes. But as I've said, parables are not to be confused with fairy tales. They can't usually be resolved with a pithy moral. Usually they find a way to startle and convict all of us. And this one may succeed in convicting all of us if its purpose is to ask us when we've been in the place of the dishonest manager. How did it feel to learn that you were going to lose that job? To what lengths would you go, Walter White, to take care of yourself and your family? There may be times in one's life when the Beatitudes aren't helpful at all. For what I need now is not a meek and merciful spirit, but instead shrewdness and cunning. So while it's very clear to me that Jesus always stands on the side of the poor, that Jesus is critical of usury and the lending of money, that Jesus promotes within us a charitable and generous spirit, he is also deeply familiar with the ways of the world. For he was at once angry and indulgent. What we have here is not a strict lesson to give more and live on less. What we have here is not a statement. It is a query. What does money mean to you? And how can you use it to give God glory? Amen.